Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I am your host. Tonight, we have an amazing guest who is the founder and creator of ZombieGamerOnline.com. Her name is Makeda Dejanay, and she's also known as Grim Freaker of Zombie Gamer Online. Before we get started with talking to our guests and introducing also our co-hosts, I do want to make a couple of announcements, as always. Tomorrow, we are doing another giveaway on the Black Girl Nerds website, so make sure if you have not done so already to bookmark it, blackgirlnerds.com. We will be giving away a customized Black Girl Nerd doll from Natural Girls United. So last month, I mentioned that we were doing a few giveaways, including Natural Girls United. They decided to partner up with us and say, you know, I want to go ahead and do a giveaway with you guys, and they're customizing a doll specifically made for our audience. And this will be great to have during the holidays and such. So if you tune in and make sure you go to the website, you have the opportunity to enter to win, and we'll be doing that for a full week starting Monday. Also, if you haven't had the opportunity, every week I always say this, go to Zazzle.com. www.zazzle.com/blurredgasm. We've got a ton of merchandise on there for you, so all of the monies and proceeds help fund these podcasts. And if you've already purchased products from the store, thank you, thank you, thank you. Your support is always appreciated. Before we get to our guests, I do want to pass the virtual mic over to our co-host. We have Renee on the line with us. Renee, go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience and let us know of any projects you're currently working on and your social media shout-outs.
Hi, everyone. I'm Renee. I run sci-figasm.com. You can find me on Twitter at sci-figasm. And that's it for right now. No real projects going on, just taking a break and running the website.
All right, so we have Makeda Desjardins, a.k.a. the Grim Freaker of Zombie Gamer Online. Zombie Gamer Online is a space for gamers, comic book readers, and anyone interested in them to have a source of uninfluenced game news, reviews, and previews. Grim wears many hats as creative director of Zombie Gamer Online. She not only writes, but manages a small team of journalists, as well as cover events such as the past E3 in 2013. Zego, Zombie Gamer Online, continues to grow and gain recognition with both the comic and gaming industries, reporting from major events such as E3 and Comic-Con. Please welcome Makeda to the show, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you so much for appearing on our show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored.
So I wanted to start by asking you, I mean, this website is phenomenal, www.zombiegameronline.com. There's so much content, and it just blows my mind. I wanted to know what originally got you into zombies, video games, and comics.
Okay, so zombies. You know what, when I was a kid, I was in a really bad car accident, and I guess when I was on the operating table, I kind of had like this weird like outer body experience, and when I was about like 7 years old, and I kind of thought that I died and came back alive again. So I started calling myself like a zombie, because I had like a second chance at life. But you know, I had a lot of changes I went through, like I was kind of in a wheelchair bound for a little while, and then I trained myself to walk again. And when I used to sneak around and watch horror movies, my mom is uber religious. I used to sneak around and watch horror movies. I used to watch zombie movies, and I'm like, hey, that's me. You know, I'm a zombie. I came back to life. I died, and I came back to life. So after that, I had like this obsession with zombies. I have zombie dolls, I have zombie covers, I have zombie books, graphic novels, anything. It's just it's a real obsession with me. So I integrated that, but comic books, I've always been a reader since I was a kid, maybe like since I was maybe 3 or 4, I learned how to read. And I my mom was uber religious, and I started sneaking around, started buying comic books, and I wanted to be a superhero. And because of me being in a wheelchair at the time, I thought of myself healing up and getting superpowers and being able to save other people and help other people and just be strong and just being somebody that's influential so that somebody else can look up to me. That's been my obsession with comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But with video games, that's a different story. I was sort of into Nintendo, but it didn't really hit me until Super Nintendo when I played Zombies Ate My Neighbor.
I so remember that game.
Yeah, that it had the best music. I was genuinely scared on a good portion of those games for something that Super Nintendo compared to the graphics that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And I I then knew that I wanted to either make video games or write about them for the rest of my life if I could. So I grew up from that, and it just kind of expanded from there.
What actually led you to create Zombie Gamer Online?
Okay. I started off on another podcast, and it was a group of us, and we started out fine, and then egos got in the way. I was the only female on there. I felt like my voice wasn't heard. Everybody was trying to overtalk me, and no matter how much I tried to be aggressive, it seemed like my opinion, it went to, if I liked the game, that maybe wasn't really, you know, high up on their roster, they'd be like, well, IGN said that it wasn't a great game, or GameSpot already said that it wasn't a great game. How come I don't believe you, because I think you're just one of those people that kind of just like that game just because everybody else says that it's bad. And I'm like, no, I genuinely have reasons. I finally got fed up. And you know what they say, you know, instead of complaining, I just decided to just cut off and do my own thing. I was tired of my opinions being compared to these big companies who obviously have ties to some of these publishers. And I just wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to have my own opinion without somebody trying to, change it to what they felt was the right opinion. So I started it. I started earlier this year in March, and it's been taking off. March of this year, I started. March 25th.
You have so much content on this site. It looks like it's taken like years to build. So all of this content was just within the last few months?
Within the last few months. It just shot up. I was surprised that people, you know, you write things. I write things, and I'm not writing them really for. I wasn't writing really for other people. It started out as just like I need to voice my opinion, and I did it. And people started picking up and like, hey, I felt the same way, or they made way I disagree. But we go back and forth, and we debate on these things. And then I started noticing people picking up on my site and started liking my page. And I'm flattered now that I have almost 1,200 people on my page that are reading the words that I'm saying, my opinions, my thoughts on these games. It's amazing.
That's awesome. Renee, I know you've got some questions. What do you have for Makeda?
I know there are some parents that are listening, and just skimming your website, I haven't really seen I know there are some reviews that go on for comic books, but I haven't seen too many that go into whether or not they're kid-friendly, and I know that comes up sometimes, and we've come across those conversations, and I always tell people I don't do kid-friendly. I don't really know what that means because my parents didn't really care, so I'm not sure if that's something that you try to just stay hands off with, or if that's something you might get into later on. But is that something you even consider? What's maybe, you know, hey, don't let your kids play with this game because it's way too much violence. Because I mean, obviously, zombies, that might be too much. Well, especially with you saying how your mom was with her background.
You know what? I don't know if I really want to touch on that, because you know what, kids are different now than they were when we were kids, you know, and parenting is a lot different than we are. Like, the games that we have today, I probably wouldn't be able to have handled when I was a little kid. Now these kids are way more different. There are some things that I probably would place a warning on, and with the comic section of the site, sooner or later I'm going to do like a a review on this comic book called Cross. And I am going to, I think in the very first line, I'm going to put, this is not for kids. Probably not even for teenagers. And if you're an adult, if you have a weak stomach, this is probably not for you. It's hard to touch on things and say, well, this is not kid friendly, because even with, let's say SpongeBob, you know, there's always some type of adult humor that kids can't get. It's just in the facade of something like very, I guess very childish, in a very childish form. But I don't know, most of my reviews and the things that I talk about, I mean, they're probably for somebody that's maybe like 14 and up, not really for children.
Yeah. I just,
I understand,
for me too, like, I'm not really turned on to games that are current. I'm more of an old head when it comes to gaming. My favorite games are from the NES and Super NES consoles. So it seems like the games of today are a lot more violent, and that just kind of turns me off. And I know that the gamer nerds that are listening are like, ew, for me saying this. I'm not into the newer games. I like the really corny, cheesy games of the 80s. And it just seemed like it was easier as a kid to gravitate to those games. And it, you know, they were more kid-friendly. But now, and I don't know because I don't have any kids. I don't know. Do they still make kid-friendly games? Because I remember they had Barbie when I was growing up, and then they had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games, and then we were talking about on Twitter they had DuckTales. So are they making kid-friendly games now?
You know what? They are making kid-friendly games, but they are on the father of video games system, and that would be the Wii U and the 3DS.
Mm.
They have I'm sure they probably have kid games for the PS3 and the Xbox, but I don't really see them. I usually see them for, like, mobile games or for the 3DS where they have, like, Cooking Mama. I don't even know. Do they even still make Cooking Mama? They have Cooking Mama. I don't know. Like, I mean, that's probably one of the main issues, well, quote-unquote issues, for the Wii U is that they say that it's not selling that well because it's geared towards kids and not towards adults. It's not really anything that an adult would want. Well, I don't know how true that is, but, I mean, I don't have a Wii U, so I guess.
What struggles, if any, have you gone through as a Black female editor-in-chief of a gaming website?
You know, I wouldn't say I've had struggles per se. Most people, when they hear Grimm, they think I'm a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I'm writing and I don't have they can't hear my voice, they automatically assume that I'm a male. And I feel like a lot of people take my words more seriously when they think that I'm a male. When they find out that I'm a female, then most people are really good about it. They're like, oh, that's awesome. You know, that's awesome that you're breaking the stereotype. I mean, I don't know of any stereotype, but whatever. And then there's some people that, you know, they'll start questioning everything that I'm doing. Oh, do you like it because of this, or do you like this because of that? And it's just like, no, I like it because of the reasons that I already gave you. As far as, you know, I can't really say that I've had struggles, but I've noticed that we, even though there's like a strong female presence in video games now, well, stronger video game presence, it's almost like we're kind of like still put in a box. When people think gamer girls or girl gamers, whatever people prefer to be called, they think about these girls that you see, like, in the memes that have, like, you know, big boobs and different color hair. You know, the commercialized girls that you see that are super popular and, you know, they most of them typically are white females. And then you'll get somebody who will see a black female and they'll be like, holy crap, a black chick plays games. And I'm like, why wouldn't, you know, it's like,
right.
Why wouldn't we play games? We have the same resources that you do. It's awkward. And then you'll still get little kids that say, well, not little kids. I was in Walmart kind of like schlepping around to see if I can get like a blind buy for a game. And this kid, maybe like 13 years old, he's like, why are you here? Girls don't play games. And I'm like, why? Like, you know, this kid is like 13 years old. He should already know, you know, with internet and phones and stuff like that and all these extra resources that I didn't have, that women do play games. They love games, and it's not just dressed-up Barbie. It's not just SpongeBob. It's not just these, you know, kiddie games. We're hardcore gamers. But other than that, I've never really had a strong struggle where I just feel frustrated with the world.
Do you feel like there's any advantages to being a woman in this field?
Yes. Of course, in a male-dominated world, it is very visual, especially if you're an attractive female. It's an advantage because, an attractive female to that person, because everybody has different preferences. It's easier in a sense because people kind of you catch them off guard when you're a female and you know what you're doing, and it's kind of sad because people don't expect, like, men really don't expect you to know how to play video games. And in my experience, they'll, like, even though I'm kicking their butt, they will say, oh, well, you know, let me teach you about this. And they're already assuming that I don't know things. And then when I do know, when I show off my skill, it's almost like sort of this weird kind of respect. It's not, oh, she knows how to play. She's an awesome gamer. It's, she knows how to play great for a girl, you know? So it's really weird. Like, you know, it's bittersweet because you step in and your boobs get you in. Your boobs or your body get you in, but then your skill keeps you in the limelight.
Right. We got a question on Twitter from Cynthia Linnell. She wants to know, what are some upcoming games that you are looking forward to?
Ooh. You know what? Okay, I'm going to go for it. I have The Witcher 3. The Witcher 3, I believe that's supposed to be coming out for PC. PC and I'm hoping PlayStation 4, because that's my next gen I'm getting. And The Walking Dead Season 2. I'm dying. And if you guys haven't heard the news, I'm not going to spoil the Season 1 because I'm really big on not spoiling things for people, but you get to play Clementine for Season 2. And if you played Season 1, that is a huge, huge thing for anybody that's a fan of AMC's The Walking Dead. No, I'm sorry. Telltale Games, The Walking Dead.
Wow, okay. When is that coming out?
They haven't announced exactly when it's supposed to be coming out. I'm hearing it's supposed to come out before the end of this year. So hopefully it is. That would be like a major Christmas present to myself. to everyone, really, anybody who plays that game. If you haven't played it, you have not lived until you play Telltale Games, The Walking Dead. That's it. That's how I have to say it. You have not lived until you played that game. That is the walking feel. Your feelings get in that game. Hello?
Yeah. Okay. Renee, you had a question. I had cut you off.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you prefer PC games or console games? And, like which one is like, more to your liking?
I don't really have a preference. Right now, I'm playing a lot more PC games because I just got a new gaming rig. And... it's a laptop. I've got a new gaming laptop, and I happen to be fortunate enough to have a job where it's quiet and it gets really slow, so I'm able to carry around my laptop, and basically it's a portable arcade, and I'm able to play it while I'm at work. So I guess. I don't know. I mean, I prefer PC for the graphics, but I prefer console for the convenience of the controller. But either way, I enjoy playing games either way.
Got a question on Twitter from Big Baba Rob. He wants to know, are you taking the PS4 over Xbox One, or are you getting both?
I will be getting both, but... I'm definitely going to get the PS4 before the Xbox One. I have a little bit of a bias right now because I've always been an Xbox fangirl, and I think Microsoft really botched it with the press and the going back and forth and, you know, the whole DRM situation. And I'm a big person on trust, and I do not like wishy-washy anything, especially when it comes to $500 of my money.
Right.
So, so I said, you know what, if I'm going to get a next gen, which I am, probably by the end of the year I have a PlayStation 4, and then maybe later next year when I'm sure all the kinks are out for the Xbox One, then I'll go ahead and get that.
What is, I can probably guess what the answer is, but I'll have you tell me anyway. What is your favorite type of video game?
My favorite type of video games? I can't say that I have a favorite site. I guess I go to different sites for different purposes.
Not site, like a type. Like a first-person shooter game.
Type.
Yeah, role-playing.
Sorry about that. I misunderstood. type. Okay, well... it's pretty obvious. I love my horror games. I love my zombie games. But if there had to be anything else, I would say my first-person shooters. I recently got back into that with Crysis 3. And then I picked up for the very first time Battlefield, and it was free on PS Plus. So I'm like, okay, I'll get Battlefield 3 because Battlefield 4 is supposed to be coming out. Well, it came out already, but when I first played it, it hadn't come out yet, Battlefield 4. So I said, I'm going to play this. And I'm like, wow, this is way better than Call of Duty, because I've been playing Call of Duty for like the longest and I got bored of it. So I would say besides my zombie games, right beside it would be first-person shooters.
And also on your website, in addition to gaming, there's a lot of content about comic books. And I had tweeted out to folks that's listening to us via Twitter, what's your favorite comic book? So I want to ask you, what's your favorite comic book and your favorite comic book character?
Well, my favorite comic book right now, I mentioned it earlier, it's called Cross. It's about this virus. You know, nobody ever knows where viruses come from or where they're made from, but it's just like this random virus that pops up, and whenever you contract that virus, you get like this nasty rash on your face that's in the form of a cross, which is why it's called Cross. But anyway, so it takes over your mind, and you start doing these like maniacal things to people that you would probably never really think of. But let's just say it goes way farther into the horror book world, to the horror realm, than anything. I wouldn't recommend this book for just anybody. You need a strong stomach. You need not to read it before bed. It's one of those. You need to not read it while you're eating. It's gross, but it has a great story, and it makes your adrenaline pump because you don't know what's going to happen next. And I felt my breath just going hard and my heart palpitating, just wondering what's going to happen next. And that is excellent for a comic book. So that's my favorite comic book. But my favorite character, I don't know if it's going to seem like, oh, it's boring, but Michonne from The Walking Dead. I've been reading The Walking Dead since it first came out. Like, I think it was about 2003 or 2004. And when I first saw her, I saw somebody who was strong, and she dealt with it. She dealt with everything on her own. I mean, she kind of went a little crazy with it, but she got through the zombie apocalypse basically by herself and with her smart. Right. And she's, to me, in The Walking Dead right now, she is the strongest, but she's the silent soldier. And it seems like Rick, the main character, is leaning on her. That's like his lieutenant. He's leaning on her and coming to her for these decisions. I feel like she needs a bigger part in the book, because she's still kind of like the side story. She's kind
right.
of just pushed to the side. She's there. She has a major presence, but she's just the help, you know? So I don't know. She's still my favorite character. She's awesome. She's strong. She has a samurai sword, which is like automatic awesome. And if everybody else died, I'm pretty confident Michonne could handle anything by herself. I'm sure she survived.
I think they did that with the show, because you read the comic, I read the comic. I think it's number 32 or 33, her little running with the governor. They couldn't do that on TV. I know you talked about Cross and how that was very shocking and everything. When I read that in the comics after watching the TV show, because I just started the comics, I was like, oh, this is a very different experience than what happened on the TV show with the governor. I don't think they could do Michonne's character as strong as she is on the TV show because they took that scene out.
And I agree.
That's part of the problem. They rewrote that whole encounter. And so with that, you know, dumbing down or washing down of her character, it's kind of now that people are just kind of like, oh, yeah, she's a black chick with the sword, because you don't
right.
understand what she's just been through. And
right.
I think that's where they misstepped with her character completely. But I wouldn't want to see her go through that.
I think it's going to anger a lot of fans, too, of the show, if they saw that. I mean, yeah,
yes.
Without revealing what happens to her, people would get really angry. If people are upset about what's going on with Scandal and the Melly storyline right now, people will be very upset with what happens in the comics with Michonne. But yeah,
yeah,
I'm kind of glad they left that out. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I kind of, I get why they left it out. It's also, it's AMC, so it's kind of like,
right,
you know, they need to, like, water it down a little bit. Like, if it was on HBO, they probably would have done it. But I agree that it would be upsetting, but at the same time, I'm like, these are things that happen in the world, and there are some sick people out there, and it would kind of be more realistic, because he was basically trying to make her a weaker person. He was trying to make her weak because she was too strong, and he couldn't really get to her. He was trying to break her spirit, but
right.
I agree that it kind of, that part, because they left it out, it kind of left a hole. And why Michonne is so strong in the show, you know, it's like there's so many things that made her who she is in the comic book. And I'm just, you know, I'm appreciative of how strong and practically fearless they've made her in the show. But it's just like, I want to see what made her that way, what fortified her character.
And now they're bringing in all these lovey-dovey moments with her and Carl and the baby, and it's like, what are you doing? She's not a wet nurse.
Right.
It throws everything off, and I'm just kind of like, why? What are you doing? Because in the comics, Carl's looking at her like, yo, she's a badass, and Carl's
right.
looking at her like, I want to be like Michonne and chopping up these zombies, and he looks down on Rick like, you know, you're a weak dad, we have to be strong, and Michonne is like the epitome of strong to him, and now she's some wet nurse on the show, and it's just, I try not to be the person
character.
That's like, the books are better, but.
It's hard for me, I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's hard for me when I see Michonne doing, you know, she's basically like a babysitter, yeah, so like a wet nurse. Oh, you know, there you go, Carl, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, back on the ranch, Carol, who, like, was Miss Abused Wife of the Year, she comes up and she does some gangster stuff. Or some, yeah, I did it. Like, you know, like, I got them. I did what I had to do. I did it. And I'm like, since when did Carol get way more tough than Michonne? I mean, Michonne is still tough, but, you know, when you start thinking like, wow, you know, hey, she's doing more than just chasing the governor. I don't know. I'm sort of disappointed. The season really for me right now is just, it's not disappointing per se, but I kind of expected more out of it and out of Michonne, out of the characters in general. And I don't know, I feel like they're developing these characters that really don't need to be developed.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back to talking about your website, too. You have the gaming reviews on your site. You also do comic book reviews, but you have a team of journalists that write for you. How did you get together all of these great contributors? One in particular, I was reading his snarky reviews, snobby comic book guy. How did you get these folks together to create content on your site?
I just asked. I have a bunch of friends on Facebook. Some of them have interest in comic books. Some of them have interest in video games. My friend Sean, he encouraged me. He's been encouraging me along the way to keep up with the site, and he's kind of a mentor to me. He writes for another magazine, and he also does, like, like editing for other websites. And he's been helping me along the way. I asked him if he wanted to write about the video game, and he's like, yeah, sure, you know, I'll help you, and I'll even help edit the site, you know, and I'm just like, okay,
wow,
that's great. Other people I've just met along the way, and I'll put up with a status on Facebook, and then, you know, how you have, like, random people that comment, and I found out they had a passion for it. And I just said, hey, do you think you'd be interested in writing? And they said, yeah. So it kind of just went from there.
So using the power of social media to create a staff for your site really has allowed you to build this really great site with exclusive content. I mean, there's so much stuff on here. It's amazing. And I'm still shocked that it was only March that you just launched the site. That's phenomenal stuff. You also have Comic-Con material on this site as well. You went to New York Comic-Con. I wanted to know, what are your thoughts about the mainstream attention that's been given to cosplay recently?
It's good and bad. I remember when cosplaying was considered dorky, and it was for the otaku crowd, where, you know, everybody was obsessed with anime. They would dress up as their favorite character, or people that were obsessed with video games dressed up as their favorite character. But now, with these shows like, I guess, Heroes of Cosplay, I have my opinion about that show. But
what are your issues with that show? Because there's so many problems, but I want to hear your feedback on it.
I feel like it gives us the wrong vibe. Cosplay is fun. Cosplay is fun.
Right.
It's supposed to be full of passion, and you love that character that you're portraying. You know, it seems like we're making it more of an elitist type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me because I love a great costume. I love when I see hours and hours of time and put into a costume and it comes out great. Or even some costumes don't really come out as great as somebody else's, but you can still see the effort and the excitement behind the costume. The Heroes of Cosplay, it's turned it into this super dramatic thing where it seems like everybody's kind of like, I don't know, like looking to compete against other people or scratch each other's throats out.
Right.
It's so not about that. The cosplay community is just so welcoming, and they make it seem like, oh, well, you can't do it unless you have like loads of time on your hands, or if you have a certain body type, or if you look a certain type of way. It's discouraging for people, and it's become annoying. But it's not going to stop me from cosplaying, but it's hard. We already have this type, this kind of like weird spotlight because, you know, people are just like, wow, you're dressing up as a character? That's kind of dorky, but who cares? But now we have this drama queen limelight on us. You know, people that don't know any better will see the show and think it's like that.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that the makers of Jersey Shore are the producers of the show. So I'm sure that the whole contentious aspect of people fighting and a whole bunch of bickering going on, making for good television, they think that that's what sells. But a lot of nerds are turned off by Heroes of Cosplay. And, yeah, I totally agree with you. Just making it so catty, especially between the women, which, that irks me. It was just a huge misrepresentation. And for people that don't know about cosplay and they're inquisitive and want to know about it, watching that show is a really bad example of what the community represents. So hopefully if there is other content that's put out there to represent cosplayers, it's done more in a documentary kind of format and not reality television.
I would have loved for Heroes of Cosplay to have been something like, I don't know, like smaller. I don't want to say smaller, but I guess less known cosplayers, less known as compared to maybe like Yaya Han or you know what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah.
And have everyday people that don't have thousands of dollars at their disposal to create these costumes. If you had the everyday struggle, some cosplayers that make these awesome costumes, they are struggling to get money to even get to the conventions that they want to go and dress and cosplay at. So I think it would be awesome and focus on the jobs that people do outside of cosplay.
Right.
You know, there are people that are security guards, that are policemen, firemen, I guess people that talk on customer service, you know, people like me and you, nurses that cosplay. I think that would be really awesome. I would say they would be more of a hero than people that have already been established and now getting paid to show up at cons and things like that for years. To me, those, they have their own appeal. I'm not going to say that they're not heroes, but I can relate to people that are on my level more than Yahya Han.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular nerd girls that you do look up to?
I have one. She is a cosplayer. Her name is Jay Justice. And she's amazing. She's the type of person who calls it and says it like it is. And she seeks out in the geek community, geek and nerd community, about our presence, people of color, and how we need representation. And there's so many more of us, and we put so much money in the comic book and video game community, yet we only get a sprinkle here and there of somebody who may represent us. You'll get that one black person, or you'll get that one Asian person, or that one Hispanic person. And we need more representation. We need more people that look like us.
Yep. Completely agree. We have a lot of feedback on Twitter about video games, and I did want to get back to that and bring up some of the old school games that I'm more familiar with. I know you mentioned at the beginning that you started off playing Super NES. So what are your favorite? I know you said Zombie Ate My Neighbors is where it started. Is that your favorite video game, or do you have a favorite Super NES game?
That
top
is
three.
Top three would be, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, Bart's Nightmare, and I gotta go with F-Zero.
Okay.
Yeah. Three different types.
Yeah. The second one, what was that game about? I didn't hear about Bart's
Nightmare.
I never heard of that.
Bart fell asleep. Bart fell asleep. He lost his homework. Inside of his dream, he has to find the pages of his homework. But the thing is that he's like walking in his neighborhood. He's trying to avoid different obstacles, and it's like a super simple game at first.
Okay.
He's avoiding these different obstacles. He's like having to cross the street. He can get like caught by the principal if he's not walking fast enough. And he's catching his Z's and things like that so that he can continue to stay in the dream world. But he finds these, when you jump on these pieces of paper, like every once in a while you'll see like a piece of his homework flying across the street or wherever, or across the screen. And you have to try to jump on it. And each piece of paper is like, it's a different mini game. And, you know, what's so great about back then with these games is that they really are creative. Like, you'd have him fighting he would pretend he's like a white blood cell, and he's fighting all these bacteria. You get jumping out of that one, or you jump into another piece of paper where he turns into Bartzilla, and he's like climbing the building, and and his father Homer is like King Kong, and you gotta like electrocute him to get him off the building, or you're like Indiana Jones Bart, who he goes into this temple with all these different dangers. Or you go into Krusty's Playhouse, and you know how much Bart loves Krusty. So
right,
it's just amazing the different mini games that they came up with the Simpsons, that they brought all their trademarks into one game. But it didn't. The one thing that I did love about this game, and it's rage quit central. Mm-hmm. Like there was no save. There was no save button. Like, if you got 8 pieces of your homework, there was no save button. If you lost after that, you had to start all over again and get all those 8 pages all over again. And there were plenty of times where I felt like breaking my controller. So that's definitely an awesome top. That's right next to Zombies Ate My Neighbor.
Yeah, my first arcade game that I ever played was the Simpsons arcade game. I remember that one. As far as Super NES games, my favorites are Mortal Kombat, also Secret of Mana. I don't know if you remember that. It was a role-playing game. And then also Street Fighter Turbo. So, Street Fighter nerd.
Oh, wow.
We did, like, duels in my neighborhood. There was a 7-Eleven that had the Street Fighter arcade game, and we would be lining up outside of the 7-Eleven practically to do, like, duels between each other. So Street Fighter is very near and dear to my heart, that game. Gosh, I love that.
I remember playing Street Fighter Turbo on the SNES. But you know what? I could not deal with playing Mortal Kombat on the SNES, because remember when they had that whole controversy about the blood, I think the color, they made it like a different color or something like that, because on Genesis you can get all the blood you wanted, but
right.
on the Super Nintendo they were like, oh no, you know, we want to make it more kid friendly, so I think they made like the blood like green or something like that.
It was greenish, it was a dark green color, and yeah, I remember they kind of censored that on the SNES version. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, I have so many memories about Street Fighter Turbo, though. That was just... I had my faves. I had my faves with that, with, like, Chun-Li. I was really proficient with E. Honda. He's a slow character, but once you learn his move, it was awesome. Kind of like Zangief. Like, if you didn't know his moves,
right,
that was the end for you. You thought that Zangief was like the crappiest character in the whole wide world. But if you knew his combos, Zangief would take you out really fast.
Those combos did it. And with E Honda, he was a good character to cheese with. You could just take that hand. You could just corner them in the back of the screen with the hand and just, like, kill the character. And you could do that, too, with Chun-Li and the lightning leg. I would cheese every time hardcore with that lightning leg and beat all of the guys in my neighborhood. I was the only chick at that little duel that we'd have in the 7-Eleven of the Street Fighter arcade. And I would play Chun-Li, of course, because I loved her. And, yeah, all it took was the lightning leg, cornering them in the back of the screen, and, yeah, they were done. So would you agree that, or maybe if you do have a different opinion, let me know, but would you agree that Chun-Li is the most notable female video game character in history?
You know what?
Or who would you think fit that category?
You know, I'm kind of going through my head in the roster of female, like major female characters. I would have to agree with you on that, because I remember, you know, I think that's probably the only person that I can really remember looking up to when I was a kid. I can't even say Sonya from Mortal Kombat, because, you know, like, nobody, I don't even know anybody who really plays Sonya from Mortal Kombat. Like,
right.
She's just kind of there.
She's kind of there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was always into playing Scorpio when I played Mortal Kombat. Like, Sonya, I liked the fact they had a female character, but I was just like, you know, Scorpio was my guy. Get over here.
Exactly.
So, and some would arguably say, oh, maybe Jill Valentine from Resident Evil, but Chun-Li was before Jill Valentine, so
yes.
I don't know, that's my opinion, but I'm glad you agree.
Yeah, I mean,
Lara Croft would be up there, though.
Lara Croft? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying
I mean, we're talking
good,
about over. We're talking about overall, like in all of gaming history, who's the most notable character? Like, I'd probably say
Lara Croft. Come on.
Or a notable? Oh, I thought you meant recognizable. Like, I don't know.
No, I mean, all right. Granted, Lara has come a long way, and the puzzles in Tomb Raider have frustrated me to the point of not playing it for months and then coming back and I'm like, whew, thank God I got past that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, Chun-Li, she's like a legend. She's a legend.
There. You know what? You know what? You're right about Chun-Li, and I wanted to interrupt you really quick because on Twitter, Sharif Jackson mentioned Samus Aran from Metroid, completely forgot about Samus.
Wow.
Because you know what? Metroid, when that game first came out, I didn't even know she was a woman. Like, you couldn't tell. So
what?
Maybe, that. I mean, that's a good one, Sharif, to bring up Samus.
That is a good one. I'm still going with Chun-Li, though. I'm still going with Chun-Li. Because,
and she's
still relevant today.
Yeah, Chun-Li is still relevant today. I mean, people cosplay as Chun-Li all the time at Comic-Cons. So,
yeah,
you know, for that reason.
I saw tons this year. You said some of these costumes you would think, like, would die out, but Chun-Li never dies out.
Yeah.
Chun-Li never – somebody's always doing Chun-Li, no matter what, in Resident Evil.
Yep. Well, we got about 4 minutes left in the show. I want to ask you this final question. What are your goals for Zombie Gamer Online for 2014?
You know what? I for 2014, I would love for us to appear in at every convention, like major convention. I definitely want to do E3 again, but I want to do San Diego Comic-Con if possible. That would be a major, major thing for me because San Diego, it's really hard to get into. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's like the biggest one in the country, the biggest convention in the country, anime convention anyway.
E3? Okay. Beats me.
No,
I'm not
familiar with
anime.
Well, San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's one of the biggest. It is the biggest Comic-Con in the country, SDCC.
Yeah, that's what I figured, yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully, I'd like to make it to all those E3, San Diego Comic-Con, and New York Comic-Con, and maybe some. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you get your press credentials yet for SDCC?
I'm working on it. I'm working because I know they had some early, an early registration for it right now. So hopefully we'll be able to make it there next year. Because we were too late. We were too late this year because, you know, we started and they were just like, well, we have practically given out all of our credentials when we signed up. So I said, okay, well, maybe next year.
Well, we're about to end the show, so if you can give our listeners your social media shout-outs, where they can find you, and any last thoughts.
Okay. You can reach us. Please, please, please like our page, facebook.com/zombiegameronline. Of course, you know, the website is Zombie Gamer Online. Follow us on Twitter on ZGO Tweets, or you can follow me at Grim Killing Bet on Twitter. Also, guys, please take a look at this Kickstarter. It's called Rain, and it's great. It's going to be a short film about Storm. It's for a cool buddy of mine. Her name is Maya Glick. Please look her up. It is awesome. If you want to see Storm represented in the media, in the movies, the way she's supposed to be, as a strong person, a strong mutant who manipulates weather and not somebody who's scared in the Holly Berry type form, this is it. Please look it up. The movie's called Rain.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Makeda. I really appreciate it. And thank you, Renee, for co-hosting. Next week, guys, there's no show. We're taking a break. So happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. Be safe out there when you travel. And we will resume the following week, December 1st. And our podcast will be Cartoon Mania Part 2. So we're doing another show about all things cartoons and animation. So definitely tune in for that, December 1st, same time, Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Finally.